skate in. Welcome, welcome. If you don't know who I am, my name is Pastor Cody. I'm the Student Ministries Director or Pastor here. That's a fancy title to just say that I am overseeing teenagers and I help with students of all ages. So that brings a whole new dynamic to my life. It feels like I have sometimes 40 kids of my own, which if you have at least one kid, you know how hard that would be to have 40 of them. But I'm super, super grateful for the position that I hold here that God has given me. And today, I have the privilege to bring God's word to you guys today as Pastor Harris is on vacation. He has entrusted that I would bring that, and I'm honored and I'm excited. If you don't know, today is our last week of our vision casting series called or titled Refocus, right? We've been talking about and refocusing on community within our church, right? And what that looks like and how we as a church can embody that better. And so Pastor Harris has moved us in that direction in the year of 2020 is focusing on community. And that is the first step that we're going is in connect groups, right? Connect groups. And so connect groups, if you haven't already registered, they are live as of more than just today. So if you've already signed up, you're ahead of the game. If you haven't, do it today. You can sign up via our website. You can sign up on our church app. You can sign up in basically any social media platform we have as the church. Or if you don't have any of that, you can always just call the office and we can sign you up as well. It's a fantastic way to connect with one another, but also to get to know one another as well. So we have seven groups total. Seven groups. And so they start in 2 weeks. So they start in 2 weeks, so get in and get connected. And so the first one we have is recovery support. That is led by Bill and Bobby Rose. So if you can raise your hand, Bill and Bobby. They are leading that group and is a home group. Woo! Number two is multi-stages in life. And this is a home group that is Rick and Sue, but their group is full. So like I said, if you need to sign up, sign up today so we can get into these groups. Number three is young families. And so that is a home group led by Matt and Sherry Pfeiffer. Matt, raise your hand. Sherry is not in here, but she was the one that did announcements. If you don't know, that is her. So they are doing young families, and it will be at their house. So number four is single parenting. And that is led by Christina Glackick. That will be here at the church in, I believe, the prayer room. Is she in here? I do not see her. But it is in the prayer room, right? Awesome. So that is single parenting. Number five is another group, multi-stages in life, and that is by Kenny and Susan Gale. I just saw them. They are somewhere around here. I'm striking out. But they are around here. Kenny was the one playing the guitar, also the bongos. So if you want to be in that group, sign up as well. That will be downstairs in the large children's classroom. And then number six is Come Let Us Worship. And Pastor Sonny, who is in charge of sound, is up there. But that will be in the fellowship hall. If you've ever been here on a Sunday night, what we've had so far, it will be very similar to that in the fellowship hall. So if you enjoy what we have already, you can go into the fellowship hall and have the same experience that we normally have. And then last but not least is youth. Woo! That will be basically 6th to 12th grade. So if you know anyone within that age group, they are more than welcome to come. We'll be doing kind of a Bible study and questions as well. And that will be down in the youth area, the vault downstairs. And so if you need more details or descriptions, you can go online to our website. They're available right now. And it's a huge shout out. This was a huge group effort from the marketing team. So if we can give them a round of applause, they did a super hard job to get that promoted in time. So thank you. Thank you guys so much. You guys are killing it. So today, I have the privilege to wrap up this series. And so as I was praying and asking God, what should I do to wrap up the refocus vision casting series, we've been kind of focused on Acts chapter 2, right? The early church. And so we're looking at verses 42 through 47, and it says this in the NLT. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So we as a church have been doing a fantastic job focusing and devoting ourselves on the teachings, to prayer, and to communion. But we've been so focused on those three things, we've kind of lacked on fellowship. We do a somewhat good job, but we could always do better. Because we always, at least as a staff, we have this ongoing joke that, you know, the left side doesn't know the right side, and they always stay on their sides, and right? That we don't know who's always on the other side. Because we're so focusing, you know, we come in, we sit in our same spot, we do the same thing, it's kind of habit. And so what we want to do is with these groups, we want to connect with everyone within our group to make sure everyone has a place to belong. And so if I'm being honest, fellowship is hard sometimes because fellowship takes effort, right? It takes time. It takes sometimes resources. If you ask my youth pastor growing up, she had to feed a house full of 15 boys. Because we're always over at her house because her son was my best friend. And so she's like, yeah, basically I had a house full of 15 guys, teenage boys, almost every single day of the week. And so her grocery bill was super large because of that. And so she would say, you know, fellowship cost me a lot of food. And we're like, yeah, that food was fantastic. But as I've been praying about this, can I just share my heart with you guys this morning about how we can refocus on community? And share my passion. I was thinking about this, and I'm like, okay, God, what can I share? You know, I'm not Pastor Harris. I have a different kind of passion and drive than he does. And so my passion, and I would say his is too, he helps me with that, is young people, right? As you can tell, I'm the youth pastor, so I'm in charge of them. I'm worried about them. I contact them throughout the week, and we have youth staff as well that connect with them outside of just myself. And so my passion is young people. But you know, as a church as a whole, we've kind of done young people a disservice, if you ask me. Why? Is because, you know, young people crave community. They crave a place to belong. But too many times us, as a church, you know, we kind of push them away because, you know, if you are asking a teenager to come over and we're talking about something that's super intellectual, and you know, it goes on and on and on. You know, if you've ever met a teenager, their attention span is like this. And all of a sudden they're totally off track and they're running around, they're super energetic. And we kind of, you know, we're like, oh no, we don't want that because, you know, they're gonna mess our house up, right? But you know, they need community just as much as anybody else. And so God has placed a desire on my heart to reach and teach and love on teenagers. Teenagers who are lost, who are hurting, and those who have been in church all of their life. Why? Is because without that, where are they gonna go? Who are they gonna turn to? And it's like, as a church, we've kind of, you know, we've done this where we raise them up in kids and in youth, and all of a sudden they get into young adults. And it's not just this church, it's churches across the board. And all of a sudden, they're in this weird age where they can't go to youth, but they're 10 to 20 years younger than the rest of the people in the church. And all of a sudden they're like, do I even fit in church anymore? And that's why we see this drop off of young adults from the church. Because they fall away because then the church isn't connecting with them. It's not pouring in the knowledge and the wisdom. And then they come back to the church in their 30s and 40s with all this hurt, with all this problems that they then have to work through, is because then they started listening to the world, and then they finally came back. But what if as a church, we can negate and stop that from falling away? Would you guys be on board with me then? That's what connect groups do. If we can connect with teenagers, with young adults, and get them connected, the chances of them leaving the church diminish greatly. And so God has given me that heart to have them as teenagers or even as young adults, that they know they have someone to turn to when they struggle, when they hurt, when they don't know what to do, when they have questions about the Bible. Because if we're not there, who are they gonna turn to next? The world, right? And in my life, I was one of those teenagers. I was a teenager who had a ton of hurt. You know, most of you guys may know a little bit about me, but some of you guys may not know anything about me. And so the hurt that I carried was my parents got divorced when I was young. They didn't co-parent at all. They hated each other. They played each other against each other. Not only that, but when I was 5, I was attacked by a dog, which left me scarred and broken and hurting. On top of that, my mom, who had custody of me when I was younger, moved from relationship to relationship to relationship growing up. So with that, we moved from house to house to house with different guys. And so trying to deal with all that hurt, with all that confusion, with all the, my whole foundation was being rocked, left me lost and confused, not knowing where to turn. And let me tell you, there are more teenagers like that today than we want to believe. There's more teenagers like that in the church even that we want to believe. And so why is community so important? Why are we placing so much emphasis on community in 2020? I can attest that my life was impacted so greatly by community. Why? Because as I was a teenager trying to deal with all these pains and struggles and emotions, it was my youth group, my youth pastor, that was there for me. It was those types of relationships and connections that I had that helped me walk through and overcome my fears and my pains and my sins when I was growing up. Not only that, but as a teenager, I had people who were way older than me pouring wisdom and knowledge into my life to help me when I was struggling. They came and said, "Hey, I see you're struggling. Talk with me." And those connections, those people that poured their wisdom into my life, has played an integral role in my life. I would not be here today if it wasn't for them. I wouldn't be a pastor if it wasn't for them. I would be living like the world because if it wasn't for them, I would have had no connection to the church during those times. And let me tell you, it's easier to not deal with your pain than it is to face them. And so it was for those connections that is why community is so important. Why? For not only young people, but for adults as well. Because let me tell you, just as much as teenagers can learn from us, we can learn from teenagers. We can learn from young adults. We can learn from kids even. So don't dismiss young people because they're overly energetic or because they're a little crazy. No offense, teenagers, but it's true. Let me tell you, breakaway, crazy, but so, so good. These young people, even young adults, need us and need you guys to show them how it's done. Show them what a genuine faith with God and relationship with God looks like. What does that even look like? How do you pray? How do you read the Bible? If no one's teaching them, do you think they're gonna know how to do it? No, that is why we need to do our job. If I'm being completely honest with you, life and even ministry is hard. Even if you've never been in ministry, can you attest that life is hard sometimes? Right? We deal with struggles in our life. You know, can I even say that as a pastor? That life is hard? Right? Can I be genuine with you guys? Life, even as a pastor, I struggle just as much as you guys do. I go through the same things in life just as you guys do. And you know, some days there's just moments where you just want to give up, right? You want to throw in the towel and say, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. It's too hard, right? In those moments, who do you rely on? Do you rely on God or do you rely on the world? Who's the bigger voice in your life, right? Not only that, but we need to be relying on God. But guess what? God works in some crazy ways. He has a plan for everything, just like the people that he places in your life. That, you know, when you're there at the valley and you say, God, I can't do this anymore. And all of a sudden someone texts you or calls you and say, hey, I'm just thinking about you. And all of a sudden there's that connection that comes from being in community. And all of a sudden you're there and they show up and you're like, how did they know? It's because they knew you within community. And so one that I want to just say thank you as a church is, if you don't know, my father passed away a couple months ago. And so as I was walking through that, as I was preparing, he owned his own business. So I was so focused on cleaning out his business for my mom that I had no time to even walk through or start grieving. And all of a sudden we got to the funeral and I'm there and I'm basically just broken down. And all of a sudden I see people from this church driving all the way to Rockford to be there for me. That's what community is. Saying, you know, it may not be easy for me, but I'm gonna be there for you. That's true community. And so you can see it in the Bible. It shows time and time again what and why community is so important. If you look at James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Boom. Not only that, but look in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one. Why? Because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We kind of chalk that up to being a marriage kind of verse, but it speaks community. What better community than marriage even, right? We can focus on that and kind of look at that for our church. In your life, are you in community with others within this church? Are you alone? Are you trying to just come into church and, you know, just be on your own and then go home? What are you gonna do when something comes up? Why do we always turn to community when a problem arises? Why don't we have community before the problem starts? And so in regards to young people in America, I love Barna. I was a psychology major in college. I majored in psychology, so I love statistics, right? And Barna is a Christian stat company, basically. And so they do all of these studies within the church and young people and parents and all that wonderful resource to use. And so they do this study with young people. And they ask why Christians go to church and what they see is missing from the church. And so, to break it down, this is why young people come to the church. The first one is to grow their faith. 63% said that. To learn about God. To learn about God, 61%. It's how I live out my faith. Teachings that are relevant to my life. Wisdom for how to live faithfully. Worship or music. wisdom for how scriptures apply to my life, and it's the right thing to do. Those are all why young people go to church. But get this. This is what they think is missing, or what they see is missing from the church. My friends attending is missing. Social gatherings outside of worship. Workshops for strengthening relationships. Support groups for challenges in my life. Opportunities to care for the poor and needy. Regularly meeting with a mentor. My family attending. If you looked at all of those, what can sum all of that up? Community. Community. Being together outside of just sitting in the pews, right? Community is missing, and the church has nothing to offer them right now. Across the board, churches are struggling to offer things for young adults. Those are the ones that will be raised up to being sitting in your pews and leading the ministries within the church with only a few years from now, 10 years from now. They're going to be the ones that are taking our place. So why are we not raising them up properly? Why are we just expecting them to, you know, figure it out, right? I taught you from you were little to 18, and all of a sudden you're on your own and you got to figure it out, right? Why aren't we doing a better job as the church? We get in this routine, even, of who we hang out with. And I struggle with this too. Is our community is almost like it's secluded. The people we regularly hang out with is almost like a country club. You have to have a special access to come hang out with us. Or you have to have a special access for us to even reach out to you to say, hey, do you want to hang out with us? Because we're so focused in on our one group that we forget to invite others within it. But like I said, not only that, but we almost wait until there's a problem to bring them into the fold. Oh, now you're hurting. Oh, come on in, we'll love you. Why is it only then? Why is it waiting? It's almost like we're firefighters. We wait for a fire and then we put it out. What if we helped negate the fire from starting in the first place? We all crave community in our life. And so, why do I say all of this? Why do I show what young people are missing in the church? Because let me tell you, as a church, we have our work cut out for us. We have a job to do, and it's a pretty big job. Why? Because if we're not there, who are the kids, who are the teenagers, who are the young adults going to turn to? The world. And let me tell you, if you look at the world right now, I don't want that teaching my teenagers and my youth. I don't want them to look to that culture, that society for the answers. Why? Because what is culture? Why? What is society teaching them? It's sexualized culture. It's teaching greed. It's all about the money. Anger is okay. You look at everyone's blasting everyone on social media. Addictions are okay. Abortion's okay. Gender confusion is okay. Divorce is okay. I don't know if you just heard that, but I don't want when I have kids, I don't want them to turn and look at that. I don't want even the teenagers that I'm in charge of to look to the world for that. But if we don't teach them, that's what they're looking to. Let me tell you, teenagers are looking to their phone rather than looking to grandparents or parents for wisdom. That should not be that way. Let me tell you, when I was young, my dad taught me everything. He taught me how to fix cars. He taught me how to do carpentry, anything with my hands. My dad taught me. But nowadays, you can go on YouTube, and you're like, a how-to video. And all of a sudden, that negates that whole relationship. Because we can focus in on just that and say, oh, I don't need that anymore. But you know what? All of a sudden that wisdom is not there anymore. That connection's not there anymore. It's all of a sudden there's another connection to the world. So we need to be intentional about that connection. And so talking about numbers, I want you to just fathom this. So the U.S. population, the majority of the population was born from 1980 until now. Millennials and Gen Z, which is basically 39-year-olds on down make up 55 to 60% of the U.S. population. Yeah. That just blows my mind. So, if they make up 55 to 60% of the population, and we're missing connecting them to church, what will churches look like in 10 to 15 years if we don't step up our game? We need to focus in. Why? Because guess who the world is focusing in on? That age group. Why? Because they're the buyers. They're the ones that are easily changed and swayed to view this way or view that way. And if the church isn't doing the same, then culture has an upper hand. So I want to look at what community brings to your life. Number one, it brings purpose. It brings purpose. Why do you do what you do in regards to community? Is it commitment or is it just convenience? What is our purpose as disciples, right? It's Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. We look at that verse and we think all nations, right? We automatically think missions. But that also includes this nation. That means your neighborhood. That means your family. That means our church. Go and make disciples. Our community. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. How are you going to do that? Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this. Receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, our city, in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. We've almost romanticized the ends of the earth part when we're missing the Jerusalem. At some point, we need to stop making excuses and start stepping into the purpose for which we were created. C.S. Lewis is one of my favorite authors, and I shared this on Wednesday, and he says this, "For you will certainly carry out God's purpose, however you act, but it makes a difference to you whether you serve like Judas or like John." Are we serving to get something out of it? Are we serving to make disciples? Are we serving because it's convenient? Because we're making a bargain with the world at the same time? Or are you serving for God's glory? Everything has an action and a reaction, just like our lives do. And so, are you committing your life to Christ? Where in your life shows that? We all make excuses, right? Especially when it comes to church and community. It's a sad fact, but we do. You can even look on a Sunday morning when it snows. We're like, oh, you know, 3 inches of snow, I can't come to church. Oh, you know, it's too dangerous. But all of a sudden, Monday rolls around and there's 3 inches of snow. Oh, I gotta get my paycheck. I need to be at work or I could get fired. Right? We make excuses when it's relevant or easy for us. One of my staff members on youth said this to me, and it's so true. Normally, when there's the most excuses not to do it, probably means you need to do it all that more. When you get all of that, all of these excuses coming in, I bet you that you probably need to do exactly what that is, because there's so much conflict coming against it. It's probably the right thing to do, because the right thing to do is never easy. It's normally the hardest thing to do. So what are some of our biggest excuses we use, right? It's the what if excuse. Oh, you know, when it comes to community, what if I don't have time? I got so much other things to do. What if I don't have time? Or what if I'm not good enough for the other people within the group that I'm going to? What if I'm always afraid? I can't talk to people because I'm always afraid of what they're going to think. Or maybe what if people are going to judge me? Oh, I can't be in community because, you know, they're going to judge me. Right? We're all imperfect people. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to have fears, but we need to stop making those excuses and start stepping up. When your life is counterculture, you're always going to have criticism from the world. When you're living like Christ, there's always going to be backlash from the world. But all of a sudden, when there's no backlash, we should be more worried. Why? Because that means you're living like the world. So I want to ask you a what-if question. What if you joined a Connect group? What if? What would that be that bad? What if you committed to community at the church? What would change in your life? I can tell you this. It would change your priorities. This is the next thing that I want to talk about, how community changes us. It changes our priorities. Why? Because the church needs to start being a priority in our life. We have let perspectives change our priorities. We have let culture and what feels good change our priorities. And as a youth pastor, I see how parents' priorities determine the direction of their teenager's faith. Think about that. As a parent, you have a role to do. I don't want to just talk to the young people or talk about the young people, but as an older generation, we have a job to do just as well. And that is to lead them. And if you're not leading them the right way, where do you think their direction is going to go in their life? Don't let other things become the number one priority in your family's life. Don't let sports, don't let work, don't let emotions, don't let any of that become the number one priority. I can tell you as a parent, when your students are in sports, I understand. I was a three-sport athlete. I had practices, I had all of that. I understand. But I still came to church. I still was involved. I still was planted. And let me tell you, that is important. That is so important. Also, when it changes our priorities is because, you know, we tend to solely think about ourselves. That's our flesh. We're always worried about how something's going to impact our lives. When something new happens, even within the church, all of a sudden, if there's a change or a new direction, all of a sudden everyone's like, oh no. The first thought you have is, how is this going to affect me? Oh, you know, I can't do that because, you know, it's going to affect me in this way. It's because we're selfish people because it's our flesh. We think about first. We need God to change that, to think about others before ourselves. And so small groups change that priority because we start thinking about more than just us. We start thinking and praying for others within that small group. And we step into why the first church grew up so fast, why they had so many people coming, because everyone craves community. Everyone wants a place to belong. Everyone wants that connection. And that is what the church needs to get back to, a place for everyone to belong. It's how discipleship should begin in community. You have to spend time with one another before you can even speak into one another's lives. Yes, I know there are occasions the opposite is true, where you can meet them at the first glance and you can speak directly to it, but the majority of discipleship, which was last year's vision, is all birthed out of community. Once you're rubbing shoulders with one another, you know where they're at and you can speak directly to where they're at and they'll listen. And so we need to get back to that. Why? Because we're stronger than in community than we are just at one person. We're stronger together, just like in Ecclesiastes says. Two are better than one because they have a good return, right? If one of them falls down, one can pick them up. That is why community is so important. It changes our perspectives as well. We need to change our perspective sometimes. Why? Because we realize we don't have to do it alone. When community is able and when church is able to change that perspective of saying, hey, you don't have to do it alone. You're not the only one that's going through that. All of a sudden, it takes one person feeling alone to then there's a group saying, oh, you know, I'm not the only one. I'm not the one that has to do it alone. I can walk alongside with other people who have even done it before me and gone through it already, or who are walking through the same problem. You see, God isn't an either-or God. He's an all-in type of God. So why are we either or with God? If God's an all-in type of God, why are we, hey God, you know, you can either have me do this or you can do this. I can't do both. I can do one or the other, but I can't do both. And God's saying, well, I need you. I want you to go for both of them. I want you all in. If I'm calling you to come to church every week and get planted, why is it either or? If I'm calling you in community and also discipleship, why do we have to pick one or the other? God's saying, I want you all in 2020. I want you all in to what the vision and what the purpose is for the church. Being all in into community. And so I want to start to close this morning. And so if I could have Brent come up real quick, I want us to see, have you already partnered with us in community? Have you already gone in and said, hey, I'm going to be a part of a connect group? Or maybe, you know, you've been a little reserved. You say, you know, I don't have the time. You know, I'm super busy. My kids are involved in this. My kids are involved in that. Or maybe just Sunday nights are family night, right? But what if in 2020, you know, we adapted that and said, Sunday nights are going to be family night. And what I mean by that, I mean family night as a church, pouring into one another. Why? Because I will be the first to tell you it takes a village to raise them. Let me tell you, I could not do youth ministry by myself. I'm very glad that I have a youth staff team, because it takes more than just one person to raise a teenager. It takes one person. It's hard. And you know, the more people you have corralling you and running with you, the easier your job as a parent is. The easier it gets. And so that's what we need to do, is we need to be in community. So this year, as we're refocusing our lives, will you do the same with us as a church? Will you refocus your life? You know, will you take this journey with us in 2020 and say, hey, we're going to strengthen our church. We're going to get plugged in to a small group, into a connect group. I'm going to stop making excuses and I'm going to get plugged in. Because, you know, all these excuses are just me making excuses when in reality, I probably need this in my life. I need someone to pour into my life where I am. I want to be all in. And so, my question is to you, what if you got plugged into a connect group? What if your fire, your passion for this year was community? How would our church look differently? If everyone was on board and saying, hey, we're going to pour into one another. Well, I'm sitting on this side. I'm going to connect with people on that side. I'm going to come every single week and I'm going to be on fire for the Lord. What would happen in our church? Imagine that. Unity as a church for the vision of community. Imagine the fire that would start out of that. Why? Because we always talk about revival, but revival starts in community and starts in prayer. Look at every single revival that's ever started. It started in a small group, and it's flowed out of that. A small group in prayer, one another for the same cause. So imagine if this entire church was for that one cause. And so, I want to end a little bit differently this morning. And you guys might think it's crazy, but I think it's necessary. And so, as a church, I want anyone that has been born 1980 until now to come up to the front. Don't be shy. If you were born 1980 till now, I want you to come up. Everybody, come on. I've got a reason for this. You guys are like, oh man, I have to come up to the front. Ugh. That means everybody. Avery. That means you. Come on up. If 1980 till now, come on up. Don't be shy. Okay, you can face the church. You don't have to face me. My face isn't that pretty. Okay, 1980 until now. Come on. And don't worry. These people aren't thinking, oh man, look at all those older people. No. Don't worry. Okay, church. Look to your left and to your right. Now look up front. Look how many we have that we are missing, that we need to impact. Look at that. When I say we have our jobs cut out, it's not going to be easy, but it's needed. Why? Because this group is the one that will raise the church up 10 years from now. This will be the one that will carry the vision, carry the heritage of this church. Oh, you can bring him up if he wants to see his dad. You can bring him up. He's included. If I could, I would have had all the kids come up. So church, will you partner with us this year? Will you say, hey, I'm all in for community? Will you say, hey, you know what? It may not be easy, but it's for them. For them to have a place to belong. For them to come to and say, hey, you know, I may be young, but I need some of your wisdom. I'm going through this. I need your wisdom to impart on me. And so what I want to do this morning is this. This is the younger generation. These are the millennials and the Gen Z. This is what the world is impacting and focusing in on. You look at marketing, you look at anything in the world, they're focusing in on this age group. So we need to do the same. What I want for everyone that's sitting in the pews right now is I want you to come up and just stand in front of them, facing them. It'll be a little awkward, but I want you guys to pray for these people. So I'm gonna have all the church come on up. Now, if you're sitting in your pews, I'm gonna point you out and say, hey, you're not listening. No, so come on up and spread on out. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna pray. If you can't come up, I want you to just extend your hand. And so if we could have the lights dim down, Pastor Sonny. Make sure you spread out. We got plenty of room up here. And I'm gonna open, and I want all of us to just pray right now, okay? Yeah, you have to be nice to each other. But church, let's do this in 2020. Let's do this. It's now or never, okay? It's now, the time is now, right now. How you can do that? Start praying. You saw all of them up here. Start praying for these people because they need it. They need it. So let's do it right now. Lord, I just pray. I pray for myself and all these young adults and teenagers up here alike, God, and even the little rascal. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that as the world is fighting against them, is focusing in on them, Lord, I pray that the church would focus in on this age group, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, the church has a power the world does not. But Lord, we haven't tapped into that because we've been missing the point. So I pray right now, Lord, that you would come upon this group that is praying for these young adults and teenagers, Lord, that you would come upon them and you give them supernatural wisdom to speak right to these teenagers, young adults, and these group that is standing before me, God. Lord, I pray right now the church would step up and start fighting, God, saying it's not easy, but I'm gonna take the charge. I'm gonna get into community. I'm gonna fight for these young people because I have a wisdom that they can have too, that I've gone through life and I wanna share what I've learned with them so they don't make the same mistake, so they know what a true, genuine relationship with Christ looks like. Lord, I pray that this church in the year 2020 would look completely different. Why? Because we we're stepping up. We're not coming to church just solely to get fed, but Lord, it'll be like the cherry on top. We've been spending so much time within the week with you, God, that Lord, we would pour into this group. We would pour out, God, into this group, and we would show them. You would show us, God, the true nature and the true power of God. Why? Because when these teenagers, young adults, go through something in their life, they need to know that power exists. That power can overcome anything that they'll go through. Because life will come. They're going to walk through some crazy, terrible things in their life because the enemy is coming after them. But Lord, if they knew and they know that they're taken care of by God and they have people to turn to, God, Lord, this church is going to explode. Why? Because all of a sudden, all these young adults and teenagers are going to start coming because they're like, man, this church knows what they're doing. God is within this church and they care about us. And all of a sudden, it's going to look differently, but it's going to look better. It's going to look better because these people that are standing before me, the ones praying and the young adults, are going to be together and they're going to be learning and they're going to be growing. And it's going to be awesome, God. So I just pray right now, 2020 would be a year that we're going to be all in for the vision, all in for your purpose in our life, all in for you, God. We're not going to hold back. We're not going to say, you know, I don't know, but I'm going to be all in, God. I'm going to follow you wherever you're going to lead me. If that's connect groups, if that's connecting in a discipleship, mentoring relationship, God, Lord, I'm all in. And I'm going to continue praying for these people right here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Church, let's do this. Let's do this. Give everybody hugs, high fives. It's a little sweaty, but we love you. We care about you guys, and I hope you guys have a great week, and we'll see you on Wednesday.